1 Samuel chapter 17. I've preached on the story of David and Goliath a couple of times, actually, in the last couple of months. And I would like to use this again this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 23 through verse 30. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to that man, to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. I want you to notice verse 30. The title of the message is taken from this verse. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. The most miserable people in the world are those people who are living their life without a cause, something for which they live for that is outside of themselves. The people that make their choices on what is best for them, they tend to rot. They're not happy because nobody can live life and be happy if they do not live for a cause. David said, "Is there not a cause?" The story really begins with David tending a few sheep in the wilderness. His father Jesse told him that he wanted him to take some bread, some corn, some cheeses, and go down and visit his brothers, give them these supplies as they were fighting the Philistines. When David got down there, somebody said, "Did you hear the threats of that 10-foot-tall giant who's been threatening God's people? If somebody can kill the giant, the king has promised." By the way, the king is the one who should have went out there and fought Goliath. He was head and shoulders taller than anybody else in the army. But the king promised that he would give riches to whoever could defeat this giant, and that he would give his daughter in marriage. Nice dad. I'm sure she was real proud about her dad for that one. But he would give his daughter in marriage to whoever could kill this Philistine. And if one of those two things didn't get him, the third one probably would have, should have. They would not have to pay property taxes for the rest of their life. He freed them from all taxes. If somebody were to go out and slay this giant, David said, "Who is this big Philistine anyway? And why are you so afraid of him? We've got the living God on our side. What's wrong with us? Why, don't you know that the bigger they are, the harder they fall anyway?" David's older brother hears David talking like this, and he comes along and he says, "Now look, little brother, you go back home and you take care of those few sheep. You're just a kid. This is a man's job. You just came down here anyway to see the battle. I know your pride. I know that you just snuck away so that you could see what was going on." And David said to his brother, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Where are there people living on Skid Row tonight? Do you know that there are people going down the streets of major cities, finding almost empty beer bottles or whiskey bottles or whatever they can find, and they go from one bottle to the next, pouring what little bit is left in each one, hoping to get enough for a drink? Why are there people living like that tonight? It's because they don't have a cause. They don't have a reason to pull themselves out of the gutter and to live for a higher purpose, for a higher aim. They don't have a cause. He's nothing he is trying to do. He has no purpose in life. Look at the teenagers smoking their pot, listening to their wild music and drinking and shooting themselves up with drugs. What's wrong with them tonight? I'll tell you what's wrong. It's that they don't have any cause. There is nothing outside of themselves that causes them to want to improve themselves. There is no purpose in life except to satisfy their own appetites. They have nothing to do. There's no challenges that are put before them. Nobody's holding them responsible. So there they sit without a cause. Look at the middle-aged man, the one who begins to squander the money that he worked so hard to earn. He gets to a certain point and he just begins to throw it away. He has what we call a midlife crisis. What's wrong with him? He's lost his cause. That's what's wrong with him. One time he had a cause. One time he had a dream. He had something that he was working towards, something that he was shooting at. But he got to a place where he no longer had a cause. You see, we think that we have to satisfy ourselves to be happy. But who really are the happy people today? Think about it. Who really are the happy people? That busy mother who sees not just her children's faces, but the men and women of character that they will become. The man or woman of heritage that they will be. That man or woman of honor. That man or woman of success. And she has a cause. And that makes her happy. We sometimes feel sorry for her. But don't feel sorry for her. Feel sorry for the lazy mom who has nothing to do, and so she sits down and watches soap operas all afternoon. The one who lives only for herself and has no cause. Who is the happy person? It's that working father, the one who works so that his children can be successful. He sees not only his children's faces, but he sees the face of one who will one day stand in a pulpit, or will one day argue a case in court, or maybe one day doctor a sick person back to health. He sees his children doing something and being successful, marrying a godly spouse, raising a godly family. He has a dream. He has a cause. He is the person who is happy. Who is the happy person? The happy person is the one who gives his life in Christian service, gives his life to the Lord and gives his life in service for his Lord. He has a cause. He has something to build his life upon. He's the happy person. Who is the happy person? The zealous youth who has purpose in life, who has a dream, who has a goal, who has a calling upon their life. Excuse me. They're the happy person. And listen, if you are here today, tonight, and you don't know what God wants you to do with your life, find out. Find a cause. Find a purpose and get behind it, because nobody is ever happy in life who doesn't have a cause. Nobody is happy until they find out something that they can do to help other people. David said to his elder brother, "Is there not a cause? I can't go back and tend sheep with Goliath out there defying the living God. I just can't go back out there because there's a cause here. There's a reason for me to stay. There is something for me to do, and I'm going to go and I'm going to take care of him. Is there not a cause?" Who is the happy person? The loving wife who sees a successful fellow She makes it her cause to make him successful and then to share in his success. Moms, I'm not looking around to say tonight to see who is here, but after your last child has gotten married, find yourself a cause. Do you know so many mothers at that point, they just really mess up their lives. They get divorced from their husbands. They've used all of their energy and strength on their children, which is good, but they also need to find a cause after that. You must always have a cause in life. Find yourself a cause. Get another cause. Dad, when your children are all grown, married, or through college, you find yourself another cause. Find another child to invest in. Teach a Sunday school class. Find a ministry. Do something. Find a cause and lose yourself in it. Alexander the Great said, "I have no more worlds to conquer than he drank himself to death." Many are rotting today simply because they have no cause. Be like the Colonel Sanders, who when he was 70 years old built the Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise. Or Ray Kroc, who after he was 70 years old built the McDonald's empire. Casey Stengel became the famous manager of the New York Yankees at the age of 75. Gladstone, Prime Minister of England, became the Prime Minister of England at 85. Thomas Edison invented the mimeograph machine at age 85. Benjamin Franklin helped write the Constitution when he was 81 years old. Be a Caleb, who at the age of 80 said, "Give me this mountain." And he went out and took it. And he was as strong and had as much vitality as those half his age. George Washington Carver joined the Department of Agriculture at the age of 71. John Wesley, who was 88 years old, was still preaching. Be like Moses, who when he was 80 years old began a ministry for God. Or how about Sarah, who had a baby when she was 90? Better get with it, moms. But she had a cause. She had a cause. She had purpose. Your cause should not be how much money can I make, or how nice a climate can I live in, or your cause should not be what kind of house can I have, or how nice of a car can I drive. There are things in life that are bigger than that. Get yourself a cause, rise above those things, and get a cause above yourself. I don't know about you, but I don't really ever plan on retiring. I don't ever want to sit and rot. I don't know about you. And I don't ever want to rust out. I might wear out, but I don't ever want to rust out because I'm being idle and not being used. You know, I kind of fear what the Apostle Paul felt as he said, you know, I don't want to preach to these people and someday be a castaway, and that means to be put up on a shelf and not be used. I don't ever want that to happen to me. I want to keep my eyes focused on a cause. And that's what I'm trying to challenge you with tonight. You say, "Pastor, but I'm not famous. I can't be the Prime Minister of England or the President of the United States. I can't have a baby at 90 years old. I can't preach like John Wesley when he was 80. Okay, you can't do that. But you can still have a cause. You can visit those who are sick. You can comfort those who are discouraged. You can always pray and intercede for others. My purpose tonight is not to tell you what kind of cause to have. I'm simply saying, get yourself a cause. If you're young or old, get a cause. Don't just sit there. Don't just sit there by your television set and watch as the world turns. You turn the world. By the way, is that still on? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. You might give yourself away. You can be a Jochebed and give birth to a Moses. Or a Hannah and give birth to a Samuel. You could be a Sunday school teacher. Young people, you can be used by God. You can teach Sunday school classes. You can be substitutes for Sunday school classes. You can do all kinds of things. You can be a seamstress. You can write and encourage missionaries. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Paul didn't say, "I can do no things through Christ who strengthened me." He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." God didn't say nothing is possible to those who believe. He didn't even say a few things are possible to those who believe. He said all things are possible to those who believe. David said, Is there not a cause? Saul said, I'll give my daughter to whoever can kill him. I'll make sure you don't have to pay taxes for the rest of your life. David said, there's a cause. There's a cause that's greater than those. There's a cause because this man out here is defying the armies of the living God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'll go and I'll take him on. I'll fight him. Go home, David. Go home, David. I can't go. I can't go home. There's a cause here, and I have to stay here, and I have to fight, and I have to do something because there's a cause. You say, Pastor, how can I get a cause? I'd like to have a cause. I'd like to have purpose in life. I'd like to have something that's bigger than myself. I just have three simple things to share with you regarding that tonight, how you can get a cause. First of all, if you have an obstacle, that very well might be your cause. Maybe God has already brought something in your life that's an obstacle. For example, I can't think of the man's name, but there, the man who invented sign language. Do you know why he invented sign language? He had a daughter who was deaf. He wanted to be able to communicate to her. There was a cause, and there was an obstacle to this, and so he designed a way to overcome this obstacle. There was a cause. Sometimes the things in our life that are obstacles, God is raising us up to overcome those obstacles and to give us a cause. Esther was brought into the kingdom for a very special time. She was brought there for a cause, for a reason, for a purpose. There was an obstacle in her way. There was an obstacle in the way of all the people. They were all going to be put to death. The reason God brought her into the kingdom was to save the lives of her people and herself. I heard a message one time. I thought it was really thought-provoking to me. Is it centered on the life of Esther? We are either one of two people in the world. We are either people of the times or we are people for the times. You think about that tonight. We don't want to be people of the times. We don't want to be just like the world. We don't want to be products of our environment and of the world. We want to be people for the times in which we live. That God would raise us up to make a difference in the world. That we would see that there is a cause, there is a purpose, there is a reason for us to be different. And we become people for our times. You're either one of those two people tonight. What are you? Are you a person of the times, or are you a person for the time, for this time? God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. That's first of all. If you have an obstacle, that very well could be your cause. Number two, look for needs around you and meet those needs. That's pretty easy. There are all kinds of needs around us. People have needs everywhere we go. The tragedy is sometimes we just don't see their needs. We're so busy looking at ourselves that we don't see a purpose outside of ourselves. We don't see that cause. Ask God to open your eyes that you would see the opportunities that are available to you, that you would see these needs, and he would give you a cause. And then number three, if an opportunity comes, let me put it this way, if an opportunity of worthwhile comes, consider taking it. I like what the almost blind man who climbed Mount Everest said. A reporter said, "Why did you, an almost blind man, climb Mount Everest?" The climber answered, "Because it's there." You know that there are jobs that we take. There are things that we do, there are ministries that we do, not necessarily because we feel that we might be the best qualified to do them, but we do them because the need is there. And somebody needs to do it. And there's a cause, and we put our hand to the plow, and we do it. Why did you meet that need? Because it was there. Somebody needed to meet the need. I didn't see anybody else doing it, so I thought I would. You don't know how many ministries come out of simply meeting needs. You could always look to strengthen families. That is a great need in our day, that families would be strengthened. Husband and wife's relationships would be strengthened, and the relationship between mom and dad and the children in the home be strengthened. There's a cause. When life is over, nobody has lived a successful life unless he has lost himself in a cause. Maybe you can't be a Dwight L. Moody, but you can be a Mr. Kimball who won a Dwight L. Moody. Maybe you can't be a preacher like Charles Spurgeon, but maybe you can be the layman who preached to 15 people one night when the preacher couldn't make it to church because of a snowstorm. That lay preacher got up to preach, and sitting in the audience was Charles Spurgeon. And at the end of that layperson's sermon, Charles Spurgeon came forward and gave his life to Christ. Maybe you can't be a Charles Spurgeon, but maybe you can be the layperson that God uses to win a Charles Spurgeon to the Lord. Maybe you can't be a great writer like John Bunyan, but maybe you can be the person who gave John Bunyan the tract that led to his salvation, his conversion. Moms, go to your children tonight as they go to bed and say, "Son, daughter, I'm going to train you and teach you about God. See to it that you make me proud of you." Dads, tell God that you are going to give your lives as a cause for your children. Sunday school teachers, say to God that you are going to give your life to those children, to see to it that they turn out right. Not just a teacher who shows up for an hour on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about really being a teacher, praying for your students. Get a cause. Transfer position for a cause. So many times we just think, "Oh, Sunday school teacher, that's my position in the church." Don't look at it as a position. Look at it as a need. Look at it as there's a cause there. These kids need to be taught the Bible. They need to be taught the truth. They need to have a role model. They need to have somebody that they can look up to. They need to have somebody that they can go with their problems and with their questions and their difficulties in life. They need somebody to be an example to them. They need somebody to challenge them, somebody to keep them in line. You be that person, and just don't look at it as a position, but look at it as a place where you can make a difference because you have a cause. There's a cause there. There's a need there. Transfer position for a cause. Let me ask all of you a personal question tonight. Is there a cause? David said there was. Is there a cause? I believe there is. I believe God has a great cause. We should all get in the battle and do whatever we can for the cause of Christ, for his kingdom's sake. Can I have your head bowed and your eyes closed tonight? If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, if you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, I want to challenge you to do that tonight for this reason. It is the greatest cause in the world. Because it makes a difference not only in this life, but it makes a difference when you die. It makes a difference for all of eternity. It is the greatest cause that there is. For this cause, Jesus gave himself for you. He died on the cross for you, that you might be saved. He saw a cause. He saw a need. You needed somebody to die for you. You had a debt that you couldn't pay. You needed somebody to pay that debt because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. But Jesus Christ stepped in and he said, "Wait, I'll die in that person's place." He said, "I'll die in your place." And he did just that very thing. He died for you that you might have everlasting life. Is there anybody here? You'd say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, but I would like to do that tonight. I would like to invite him in, and I would like to know more about this cause that you're talking about." Could I see your hand, anybody? "Pastor, I'd like to receive Jesus as my Savior." Christian, I challenge you to put your priorities in order in life and realize that serving the Lord is our top priority. That is our greatest cause. And whatever you find to do, whatever your hands finds to do, do it with all your might. My prayer is, God, burn this message like a branding iron in the hide of your people. May tonight be a night when we change our responsibility for a cause. How many are here tonight? You'd say, Pastor, I want to do that. I've just been looking at things that I've had to do as my responsibility. I've simply been doing them out of a sense of responsibility. But I'm changing tonight. I'm looking at things differently. I'm seeing that there's a cause. And so I'm not just doing this. I'm putting my whole heart into it. I'm changing my responsibility and for a cause. Could I see your hand? Amen. Amen. Lord, may this message stick tonight. May we do that. May we just not say it, but may we do it. May we change our responsibility for a cause. Burn this message in our hearts. Lord, that we would be people of passion. That we would be people who'd make a difference. Lord, for those that are looking for a cause, I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes and help them to see what you are trying to get them to see. Their cause, their purpose. Shine that light of truth upon them tonight, this week, while this message is fresh. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away.
We are a moment. You are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name.
Yes, Lord.
Be unto your name.
Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We pray your blessing on us as we go downstairs now. Bless the food that has been provided in our fellowship together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.